far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode,
we get to review Gundam The Origin Volume 2 and Dragon Ball Z Battle of Gods, the movie.
Read this, but this week on the Anime of Yesteryear podcast, we're going to be reviewing the second volume of Gundam The Origin, which came out in 2013, I believe.
It was like in the I think it was August or so, and I don't think I got around to reading it till like maybe October, but I know I finished it up like during Christmas break because I'm still on volume 3.
Yeah, I've read through Volume 4. When does Volume 5 come out?
Volume 5 apparently comes out like in a couple of weeks.
I still have not pre-ordered it, but I need to.
I think it's like $21 on Amazon right now for a pre-order. And they said they got Amazon Prime, so like you get free shipping out of it anyways. So that's a pretty sweet deal. I'm just kind of skimming through it. I mean, you know, The Origin is telling the same story from the TV show. But, you know, they kind of retell it in a way that's sort of like, oh, you know, if they did it like this, it would kind of make sense. Do you remember anything that, like, really stuck out to you from the second volume?
Well, the way he dies, I think, is more memorable than in the TV show, Garma.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Josh. We're talking about Gundam The Origin Volume 2. I'm John Jones, and I'm joined by Vimon Josh.
Yo.
And Zionic Freak.
Hey.
We don't have any special guests like Andy or Jeff this time, like we usually do for Gundam, but...
Yeah, I didn't think about asking them, really. I don't know. Having Andy on for a Christmas thing was probably about the best as we're going to get for a while, so...
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I don't see either one of them on right now. So, oh well. Josh, since you just finished Volume 2, like, what really stuck out with Volume 2 of Gundam The Origin to you?
Not quite sure. I mean, it was more of a, getting from point A to point B type of volume. So it's primarily getting from, where did we start in this? It's been a while since I read the start of it.
Outer space.
Yeah, it's basically getting from outer space to the point where Garma dies, so.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I guess the part that stuck out the most was the whole thing with Amuro's mother, but.
Yeah. I mean, they made some really cool changes to it. Like, it really starts out with, like, where they're going into Garma's territory, like it was in the TV show, where they're going through North America. And, it's pretty much their assault to pick up to where, like, Char kind of failed at in the first volume. And, of course, like, you know, he's able to meet up with Char, and Char is able to kind of give him the lowdown on what's going on. And then, like, then they have, like, the battle where they're out in, like, in the middle, like, maybe Nevada or something, where, like, Char is able to infiltrate, like, trying to, like, to attack them with a Zaku squad. And then also at the same time, they have the whole thing where the civilians kind of rise up. And, they have that one woman who, like, apparently wanted to go to her hometown. And then, like, the soldiers actually, I think it was, like, they drop her off in the area where she's supposed to go. Or I think she might have been with the Zeon soldiers or something. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. She's able to hook up with some Zeon soldiers. And you know, she's like, hey, do you know where this town is at? And, like, next to her is a giant, like, crater lake. And the soldiers basically like, yeah, that's, the town was called St. Ange. And they're like, yeah, St. Ange, you're looking right at it. And it was pretty apparent that her town is a giant puddle of water at this point. So, and we don't really know the actual fate of that the kid and her daughter. So, I'm hoping things went pretty well for them, or at least they went somewhere else. The rest of this is pretty much like covering from like episodes 5 to 10-ish. I mean, of course, giving him some little bit of backstory and everything. Like, you know, we get, you know, Amo gets to meet his mom, and then, of course, kills, like, the Zeon soldiers and everything. And he's like, no, Mom, you know, I've got to stay with my friends on the white base and everything. And they have, like, a whole drawn-out, like, you know, car chase where, like, Selah and Kai go after to get Amuro back.
Isn't Katz one of the kids?
Yeah, Katz is one of the kids. I was thinking Kai. I guess it's not that hard. There's only two characters in the whole anime that start with a K. And Mobile Suit Gundam, not the whole Gundam series, because then they got Camille.
Yeah.
Unless you want to debate that Camille's name starts with a C or not.
When I was at the collector's market, here's our first tangent. At the collector's marketplace today, they had a Zeta Gundam model kit. And there was this guy who walked up and he was like, oh, cool, you have Gundam stuff. Oh, it's Zeta Gundam. Well, I don't like the stuff before Wing. I was like, ugh, why did he have to say that? And he was like, Wing and Seed and 00 and Age are so great, but the other stuff I don't like so much.
Are you going to describe what this guy looks like and what he was wearing? Because I'm dying to know.
Oh, I didn't get a look at him. Was
he wearing a fedora?
No, he probably was. I didn't get to see him. I just heard,
overweight,
heard the conversation.
Smelt bad facial hair, probably talked really high-pitched or like, high pitch with fat thrown into it, obesity. I probably like with a pony shirt on. I don't know.
I saw someone for the first time a few weeks ago with a My Little Pony shirt on, but it was a female, so I guess it's somewhat excusable. They're Pegasus.
Wasn't your dog scared of her?
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. So was I.
Wasn't that like the autistic girl or something in the park that like said she kept petting your dog and you're like, no, I don't want you to pet my dog.
Yeah.
Or was that the same time where you're like, yeah, I found like women's underwear in the parking lot or something?
They're probably different days, but it's the same place.
Oh. Yeah, they still sell pony crap at Hot Topic, that's never going to change.
Yeah, the show is still going, isn't it?
You know, funny, okay, even though we're going off topic here, but funny thing was, apparently, I think they made a really decent documentary on bronies that apparently...
I don't want to see it.
Yeah, well, I think it was apparently going to happen anyways, but like, Sean Ryan posted an episode on Alpha Counter about it. I haven't listened to it yet because I kind of want to see the documentary first. But, like, on the trailer, it was, like, a genuine documentary. It looked really professional looking. And it's, like, the lives of these bronies. And it's, like, you know, these people are like, oh, my life was nothing before My Little Pony. And, like, one of them had, like, there were scratches on his car where, like, they said, like, kids would, like, beat his car with baseball bats or something to, like, scare him off.
They
had, like, the kids going to, like,
Brony Wait, the bronies are claiming that there are hate crimes against them where children come up to them with, and beat their cars with bats?
Yes, that was in the trailer I saw.
Oh, this is a disaster.
But it looks professionally made. Like, I'm very curious in how well it's made that I want to see this. I'm not even sure. I'm pretty sure, like, documentary film-wise is a great piece of work, but the people that they interviewed, it's probably going to be something complete, like, as what you would expect from someone who likes My Little Pony. But, again, not everyone is like that. Okay, I guess back to Gundam the Origin. Man, we only got like 10 minutes into this podcast recording, but there's really nothing much to say about this.
On page 9, there's a map of their plan for the war, and I guess that's how it basically goes. They're up to... Aren't they up to LA by the end of the...
Yeah, okay, so, like, the differences in this between the anime series was, like, in the anime series it was in Seattle, and this one they're in Los Angeles. And now that I'm thinking back, like, there's a whole, like, resistance group that's, like, trying to rise up against the Zeon army. Let me think. Yeah, they're, like, they're rising up against the Zeon army by, like, the mayor of Los Angeles. And of course, what makes this interesting is the fact that the mayor's daughter is Iselina, that the girl that, like, Garma really likes. Or, like, apparently, I think her purpose was, like, she was giving Garma information regarding, like, the resistance. Because, like, when Char gets to meet, like, you know, his, or Garma's girl or whatever, and obviously he's just kind of like, oh, so Garma's got himself a girlfriend now. It's like, huh, fancy that. And she kind of makes it sound like when they meet, it was like, oh, I'm here for information. He's like, no, I didn't bring you here to get information. I want to be with you. And it was kind of the whole apparent thing where, like, you know, after this war, after this, you know, I take down the Trojan horse, I will marry you and ask for your father's permission to marry you and everything. But of course, that all gets screwed up, where Char betrays, you know, Garma at the end. And then, at the very end of the book where we get that, the mayor is actually, like, assassinated by, like, these Zeon officials and everything because they've stopped the coup from happening. And then of course they murder the mayor because they find out that he's behind it.
So what does Char do that everybody hates him so much? I mean, people figure that he killed Garma, but he didn't kill him directly, did he? I mean...
It was, like, in the anime series and in this, like, he sets him up to have Garma in the line of fire from the White Base, like, when they're in the city. Because, like, they start carpet bombing L.A., and then, like, the White Base is hidden underneath, like, a, you know, like a football field or a dome or something. And then that's when, like, Garma's playing, like, you know, Char deliberately fools Garma and, like, oh, I see the Trojan horse in this area. And that's when we get to see, like, Char's actual, like, real intentions and agenda to kill off the Zabi family, obviously. Which does get brought up in the third book, which, of course, we're going to cover eventually.
Yeah.
But, you know, not to spoil anything for Josh.
I see the last few pages here are in color. It's kind of random when the color pages show up. Sometimes it's just in the middle of a chapter, it'll just become color.
Oh yeah, one of the color pages we got was a beautiful view of Char's ass.
Yes. I distinctly remember that now that you brought that up. I think Yasuhiko was like, I don't know how many female people and fans I have of Gundam, but that's going to change right now. I guess he was just like, well, I mean, he wrote this before Gundam Seed came out. Well, it was after Gundam Wing, and like a lot of females, I think, still like Gundam Wing. Well, I mean, especially in America. But I guess they figured, well, we need to get more women into this, so I'll just show off Char's body and that ass. And we'll see if that makes my sales go up.
And of course, the most notable part of this volume are pages 45 and 46.
Getting there. Oh, yes. Oh, this is, yeah, this is it. Where Bright, like, we get introduced to the Brights. Well, I think he gave, no, this is the first time Bright slaps Amuro. Because I don't think he slapped him in the first book.
Here's the version of his famous line that Vertical gave him. You hit me twice. No one's ever hit me, not even my dad.
Yeah, and then, like, Bright is like, well, there's your problem. Nobody ever grew up without taking some blows.
This is, I guess, the part where everybody... Yeah, but it's like Double Zeta, it's really missing a strong antagonist because Char is missing. You know, you have that goofy guy who loves Haman, but I can't remember his name.
Yeah, Mashimir Cello. But then it switches antagonists all the time. Like, you don't get Mashimir the entire time. Then it switches over to, like, LP Peru.
She's terrible.
Char Asoon is not really so much one. And then Glimmy Toto is, like, the big one at the end with, you know, Haman at the same time. And then all Glimmy does is go after the girl from Jupiter. Oh, crap. Whatever her name was.
What's with Glimmy Toto? Why does she, like, clone Puru so many times? What's so special about she? Like, where does she get her psychomu powers or whatever it's called? Have you seen the whole Double Zeta, or are you still watching?
No, yeah, I saw it, like, you know, years ago, but it doesn't really... I mean, obviously it doesn't explain that much regarding... It was just like, oh, Glimmy is, you know, making these clones because he can, and this is going to be these, you know, QBLA army or mercenary group that's going to, like, you know, be at the very end of the series.
It's just so creepy, though.
Yeah. That good old backstory right there. Of course, if you guys want to watch Double Zeta, it is on Daisuke. And that is a free anime streaming app channel website thing. So I'm not even, I think they're in like the, like, I think they're in the 30s by now regarding what they put out. So
Viku claims that there's a dub of Double Zeta and that it was just never released, but
this was actually mentioned in a thread on Toon Zone the other day, that I guess there was a Double Zeta dub that only aired on Animax, but it's, like,
that's
really,
it.
Really bad.
Oh. Well,
they've got YouTube clips of it. I mean, it's on YouTube, but it's, like, in different sections. It's not, like, it's not a whole episode of the dub. It's just, like, parts of it.
Is it, like, highlight episodes?
No, it's just clips from the episode. Like, here's, like, oh, here's episode... They listed out, like, you know, Double Zeta dub, episode one, but it's, like, 6 minutes long, and it's, like, that whole episode wasn't 6 minutes long.
So, well, I want to see like a clip of two. The... I want to see a clip of Bright with the farm animals and maybe the scene with the Zeta having a Zaku head. Do you remember that episode?
Oh, yeah. That was when they were still taking on Mashimir. I think that was before or might have been like when Judo's sister gets kidnapped and they're trying to get her. That might have happened before that, but like... I think that Astonage kid or whatever his name was, like, was the one that piloted it, and they were like, "Oh, they're mocking us with the Zocket and the Zeta Gundam. How dare they?" Because that was comedy, I guess. I don't know.
The kids in Double Zeta are the same kids that are in Zeta, right? Like the little kids.
Yes. If memory serves me correct, we did a review on Double Zeta forever ago.
Yeah. Josh is going to have to endure a lot more of those little kids, which I know he didn't appreciate.
Yeah, they were really bad. I could at least tolerate the little kids that were in the original Gundam, but Zeta is like, they serve no purpose.
What do you guys think of the kids in Gundam The Origin?
Well, I was going to say, I guess they're fine, but their expressions and... Well, every scene that they're in this volume, they seem to, like, create this atmosphere that, like, everyone in the room starts breaking out into these stereotypical anime expressions. Even though the rest of the book, it's like they're drawn more, like, seriously.
Yeah, the kids are very exaggerated manga style characters, and
yeah, they're always shouting and they're always with Fraubo serving food, and they're trying to cheer people up, and then like people are like, "No, I'm not hungry," and then they get mad because the people aren't hungry for the food or something.
Yeah, they can be funny. I mean, if you keep reading the chapter or the book where they're in Jaburo, it has this part where they knock over this microphone at some Federation event, and that I don't think it was in the anime. So they have a lot of
that doesn't sound like it was in the anime. So
it was, or it wasn't.
I don't think it was.
Okay. Well, either way, the way Yasuhiko does it, it's very original.
Usually half of what you're reading in the book is completely his original idea. And when you think about it, it really does kind of make sense. Okay, so, you know, the third and fourth books right now are, I mean, just to kind of, okay, give a little bit of spoilers from what I've seen and read, but they don't go to Asia to meet, you know, Ramba Rao and everything. Yeah, they've traveled south to like head to Jaburo through South America, even though they're on the opposite side. They're like, you know, on the Pacific side than the Atlantic side, which is where Jaburo is at. And that makes sense because in the anime, it was like, we have to get to Jaburo, but let's go tread all across freaking Asia to get there. So, and that doesn't really make any sense. It's like, okay, I understand that, you know, you're in Zeon territory, but, you know, you can probably chug it's a lot closer to chug it just to go south than to go all the way through Asia and meet this other crap you gotta meet. So, like, you know, when they fight Ramba Rao, you know, there's like the desert part, but it's like in the deserts of like South America, which I didn't even know there was that much there to begin with.
Yeah, well, with the anime, they just had to drag it out so that it could last a certain amount of weeks. So they made it be the most indirect route they could think of.
Yeah, it's the same story, but like the location is changed, and it makes sense to change the location. Man, it's hard for me not to spoil the third book because like it brings in regarding like what Makuve's attention is, like, you know, he's supposed to be assisting Ramba Rao. And it's just a better story to tell than the TV series, let's just say. But like, I think Odessa comes like before they go to space is what I'm imagining with the manga. Because next we have, you know, the next volume is Char and Sayla, which is probably going to be a whole book on their backstory. And then I think the next one is going to be like Odessa. So that's going to be their efforts to go to Odessa to take out, you know, be that Federation front that drives Zeon out. And then they're probably going to head to space. I mean, of course they're going to head to space eventually.
Yeah, they have to by the end of it, of course, yeah.
I don't know. I can't really think of anything else from the second volume. I mean, it kind of it does its own thing, but it's really, I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's retelling it, but it's doing its own thing at the same time. And that's what's making this, you know, reading these books is so interesting.
I think a lot of people who read this seem to, or maybe it's just Andy and Jeff, but seem to think this is a lot better than the original Mobile Suit Gundam. And people seem to be bashing Tomino a lot more than they used to. Because it's like Tomino could have done it better by doing it this way. So Tomino's flaws become obvious to people, I guess.
I mean, now his flaws are coming obvious, but back then, and this held true for many years, that, you know, his stuff was so great because that's why everyone liked Gundam. And then now that people have come along and, you know, retelling the story again, it's like, okay, so Tomino as a storyteller is not that good, and as a director, it's very questionable. But, you know, because we didn't have anything else to compare Gundam to make it either worse or better, for the longest time, he was the greatest man alive in the anime industry. So, I mean, like, up there with Tezuka and, you know, Osamu Dezaki or something. I mean,
because he created a different kind of robot anime than the other robot anime that had aired before. And so
yeah,
people couldn't say, well, Tomino could have done a better look at this. Instead, they'd say, well, look at my fan fiction. Look at how much better it is than Tomino, and nobody would take him seriously. But now they can say, well, look at this. It's so much better than Tomino, and I guess they have a point in some respects, but Tomino is good for the time, that's for sure.
Yeah, you're not gonna find, I don't believe, any evidence to bash Tomino 20 years ago. Because 20 years ago, we were trying to get anything we can possibly get in America. I mean, you got people that, like, you know, all these, like, really stupid OVAs that Discotech is re-releasing that was popular at one point or people knew about. You know, you look back at it, you're like, why did we like this? I'm like, oh, wait, there was nothing else to compare it to because this is all that we could get. I mean, that's why, like, you've got these, like, 40-year-old Star Blazers fans. They're not going to move from Star Blazers at all, even though I find Star Blazers not as interesting as Gundam or, like, Fist of the North Star, because, like, I'm this newer generation that's been spoiled with all the rest of his stuff. Which kind of makes it, you know, like, their side really unique on the stuff that they like, because, again, that was all that they had. And granted, there's a whole lot of depth of that series, but, you know, again, for a fan in this generation, that's not going to appeal to them as much.
I like how we call it Star Blazers. You know, I bet there's a lot of people like Jacob who get mad when they hear that. They say it's Yamato, not Star Blazers.
Well, I don't call, you know, Macross. I call it Robotech. That's our proper Masek way.
Yeah. Man, speaking of Masek dubs, I don't know if I might actually prefer the Streamline Akira, because when I saw the one that they aired on Toonami, it's just the voices are so associated with other characters to me that it's I can't get into it, you know.
You're talking about the Pioneer dub, the one that everyone knows about now?
Yeah, the new dub. That was the first time I'd seen it. I had only seen the old version before. And the Japanese version.
Are you saying that the new version, the one that you saw on Toonami, is better or worse than this Streamline dub?
Well, it's probably technically better, but it's I couldn't really get into it as much as I wish I could have. The voices in it, I just associate them with too many other characters that are on Toonami, and it's like takes you out of the experience compared to, I don't know, the voice actors from the Streamline dub, you know.
Well, Mike Reynolds is the guy that talks really old and grizzly, and he still talks that way now, even though he's like 80-something. And that's going to be a sad day when he dies. I hope it's not soon. But and he got, like, Kerrigan Hagen or whatever his name is, who's done, like, a ton of Robotech dubs and all those old Streamline stuff. That dude's got a huge voice acting career. And that dude's really talented, too, regarding, like, you know, him doing dubs to stuff, like, 30 years ago. I mean, it's... The Streamline dub to Akira is his own kind of unique piece.
Everybody likes to make fun of the name mispronunciations.
Canada!
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, I happen to see, and I happen to do, like, if I compare the two dubs, I happen to like the newer Pioneer dub more than the Streamline one. But then again, the Streamline dub has, like, a really unique taste to it. And I don't hate that at all.
I want to see the Streamline dub of Megazone 23. We were talking about that recently. That could be our next topic.
Yeah, that's something we're going to have to actually cover next. I think we're kind of probably going to do like a Megazone March month or March Madness or something. We actually were talking about this. We're trying to find a sports anime to talk about for March. And I thought of doing Slam Dunk because it's basketball and, you know, that's a sport. But apparently with Slam Dunk, we would have to watch like essentially half the series if we're going to come up with something to talk about, because the movies that they have out are just like add-ons to the TV show. They're not like compilation movies, because, you know, I sure as heck want to go see a compilation movie to save me to tell 25 episodes of a story into 2 hours or an hour and a half.
The show's like 100 episodes, I think, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, there's four movies, but the movies are like tie-ins to certain parts of the TV series. Yeah. And like I would love to see Slam Dunk. I really would, but I just don't have the time compared to everything else I want to watch.
I read the part of it that they put in Shonen Jump, but they pulled it after only like 20 chapters or so. I don't know if it was polling low in their viewer satisfaction polls or whatever, but that's something the Japanese Jump always does, is pull series really quickly if they don't pull high enough. But I guess the U.S. one has done the same thing at times. But they put out the rest in graphic novels, and it just finished recently. So I guess if anybody wants to read it, it's all out there. But it's going to cost you a lot of money because it's like 30 volumes, and they're $10 each.
Yeah, and that's – yeah, Viz put out Slam Dunk, I believe.
$300 for the whole series.
Is it by Viz?
Yeah, Viz.
Okay, I figured. That's no surprise. I think they put out the manga series in the past decade. I know that.
Yeah, that's about how long it took, yeah.
Okay. Do we have anything more to say about Gundam the Origin, even though we've gone off topic? And that's usually a sign that we have nothing more to say about it.
Is it next volume or the volume after that we get to the salt?
What?
The salt. The episode where the chef keeps asking them to find salt.
That's not in the manga.
That's,
I don't think.
Oh, well, okay.
I should also mention that the Dozen Island episode from the TV series, the one that Tomino hates and wasn't even put out in America, that's not put in the manga at all. So you don't get to see Yasuhiko design a Zaku and draw up the Zaku throwing another Zaku off a cliff. The Gundam has a bazooka and the other one has a beam rifle.
I liked that episode when I saw it. I just don't get why Tomino thinks it's so terrible.
I mean, if you compare everything else, like people on Tumblr like had like images next to each other of like the animation from the show and how how the suits are designed, because you know it's animated, so there's going to be liable mistakes on that, and it just looks really bad. But those are like the episodes they kept on air, and I think someone was like, "Yeah, look, dude, if I told you guys I'm watching Gundam for the story and like the dialogue, I'd be lying. It's more about the animation, because this animation is hilariously bad." Like, you've got like a deformed, like squished Zaku head and a larger like upper body in one pan, like, you know, one cell scene or something. Because I saw these image comparisons and they're laughably terrible. But it's just like, you know, that's what they had to deal with.
Is that what got you watching Mobile Suit Gundam again, or
More or less, I guess. Like I started up. Like I watched a little bit of it during my Christmas break. So I got up to. I think I'm up to the part where they're about to go to Belfast, I think, in the TV show. So, I don't know. Like I think like the bad animation stuff is like comes much later when they're in space, from what the scenes I saw. But I mean, unless the stuff I'm seeing is like where they cleaned up the animation, or it's not the original TV thing. So I don't know. But just the stuff, the images I saw online was just like, you know, even though this is bad, I'm still going to watch it. I guess you can't really, point the finger at it when, like, you've got Macross and they had all these animation mistakes that came later in the show. Like, the green-haired girl's, like, eye is, like, sagging down to her cheek or whatever. So, because that was a thing. Oh. You got any more to say? Go ahead.
Did you want to talk about a DBZ, Battle of Gods?
Yes, that's what I was about trying to lead into. I was like, if we're done with Gundam, let's talk about probably, I don't know if it's the best DBZ movie in a long time, because I really can't think of any other DBZ movie that's like Battle of Gods.
Well, it's the only DBZ movie in a long time. They haven't made one in like 20 years.
I thought it'd be like a decade at this point, because they were making them in the 90s still.
Well, maybe it was like 96 or something, but that's 17 years ago, I think. Or 18 at this point.
Yeah, because Wrath of the Dragon, that's what we called it in America, is actually... Yeah, Josh posted up the image of like the bad Gundam designs in the Skype chat, so I can definitely use this as show notes. But
I remember that Love That Goku had a tweet where he said, "Don't watch the Academy Awards, they're a fraud. Every year I've been waiting for them to nominate Wrath of the Dragon as best animated feature, and they haven't done it."
Even that movie is not that great.
That's the one with the least relevance to the story of Dragon Ball Z, and that it is clearly not canon at all. It doesn't make any sense.
The only relevance is the fact that, oh, that's where Trunks got his sword from, was the flute player guy.
But the problem with that is that Trunks' future is diverted from ours, or from the main universe, and so it's not future Trunks' sword, it's just Trunks got a sword, but who cares? I mean, it's
he does have a sword in GT, so I guess you could say that's what it's explaining.
But did anyone care about Trunks in GT? He's so useless, all he does is cross-dress.
I think the thing is, does anybody care about GT, period?
I mean, Trunks is like the least obnoxious of the three, because in GT, Goku, he just talks about food all the time, even more than in Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. And he's a kid for some reason. And Pan is just terrible. But I don't know. It's so awful.
I will say that ending, like, clip show or whatever at the very end of GT, where, like, Pan's an old woman, and that's when Goku's the guardian, was a rather touching and moving scene when I saw it on the internet, way before it was ever on TV. But I was like, oh, because I saw that, I'm thinking, well, maybe GT's not so bad. Before I ever even saw anything of GT.
I couldn't watch videos back then, I don't think. It probably had dial-up before it aired on TV.
It was like a rip I got off Kazaa of, like, someone got, you know, like a 50 megabyte video file of the ending, so it was as pixelated as hell in today's standards. But on Real Player, that's all I used to play those files back then in 2002, 2003, I thought it was pretty cool.
Daft would be so offended. He's like, you have to download everything in HD, it has to be 1080. And you can't watch it on TV, you have to download it. Because on TV, there are commercials.
The biggest 1080p waste of space was those Gundam Wing intros. Someone, like, they designed it to be in 1080p, and I'm like, this is really pretty, but it's pretty 90s animation to a show that's really dumb. This doesn't serve it any other purpose than to look at how nice 90s animation looks like.
Which series?
It was the Gundam Wing intros.
Oh.
Someone took Gundam Wing intros and put it in 1080p on, like, Naya torrents.
Oh.
Now, I mean, again, they're really sharp to look at, but it's 90s animation, and that was at the peak of 90s animation, which is more or less not all that impressive today. So.
Did they do that song with Relina and the animals?
They did not 1080p the ending where Relina's pulling on the rhino's ass or whatever. Makes no sense. God, what is a terrible ending.
And it ran for like half the series, didn't it?
I don't even know. I thought it was ending for the entire series. I don't even care to research to know it. So
it was so bad that on Toonami they just aired the opening theme as the ending theme. Instead of the rhino theme.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'll be right back.
Yeah, that's cool.
The Girl Scouts came, so my dad wanted me to pick which cookies we should get, and then the dog got out, and I had to walk the dog, and now I'm back.
We're just talking about Chris Chan.
Oh. Has something recently happened with him other than his house burning down? Or
He apparently bought the Lego Movie video game for the PS3, and he was last seen playing it on his PSN activity tracker.
So it seems that he rescued his PlayStation 3 from the burning house.
Unless he bought another one.
It's that he could have, yeah. even though him and his mom are short on money at this point.
trying to rebuild when you don't have the money to rebuild. Alright, crap. We were talking about Dragon Ball Z stuff. And I'm not even sure where we were on that.
Oh, well, we were going to talk about the movie, but...
Yeah. We're talking about GT, I think. And about the ending, and then I think we heard your dog bark, or whatever. That's not a big thing.
Yeah.
Sam, when did you see Battle of Gods, John?
It was a few months ago.
Okay. Go ahead.
It was a fan sub because there's no dub, obviously, and that's what you saw too, right? I mean, for a long time there was not even a fan sub of it, but eventually somebody did one.
Yeah, I saw mine on like a cartoon streaming site or something, and I was gonna watch a few minutes of it, and I wind up watching the whole thing. And I was going between that and like some Lupin the Third TV special on YouTube, which was like the Order to Assassinate Lupin, and that was okay. I don't know. I just like had it on, and I was just like, oh, I don't want to do any schoolwork. I'm just gonna watch Lupin and Dragon Ball Z. So yeah, what are your thoughts on Battle of Gods? Is it not the funniest thing I've ever seen from Dragon Ball, or not the funniest thing I've ever seen?
It was pretty interesting. I mean, the stuff they had Vegeta do, I was not expecting it. I think that was the funniest part. And then Goku saying, I don't want to rely on my friends for this. I just want to fight him. And I was kind of surprised to see him say that, because usually Shonen characters are always all about their friends, and they mention this all the time.
Yeah. I didn't know what to expect from this film, but it seemed like Toriyama was like, I'm just going to be funny as I usually am and make this movie all about just nonsensical stuff. Because then he got like, because like in the dub that I saw, or not the dub, the subtitle that I saw, like they called the cat Anubis God Bills. And then we had to talk about it like the other day, which was like, it could be beers. And because like he's also his grand master person that is his caretaker is Whis for whiskey or something. So that would kind of make sense, since like the DBZ characters are vegetables, and like all of Bulma's side and that family is named after like clothing.
Well, the official name that Battle of Z is going with is Beerus, just like beer and virus.
Beer and virus?
Yeah, Beerus. Like Beerus.
Okay. No, I'm just trying to combine beer and virus into one idea, and that just sounds too crazy for me.
Haven't some people been calling him Bills too, though? I don't know how it could be. I mean, I guess that's one way to Romanize it, but it.
Bills didn't make any sense. Like, Beerus kind of does. And, like, because, like, when I was watching, I saw some really hack job sub. And I think they were just, like, translating exactly how they said in Japanese, because it would make no incoherent sense. And it sounded like, when I was watching it, that, like, King Kai was, like, upset about tax collectors or something. Because it says something about Bills, and I'm like, what is going on? And then I had to go to another dub, and then that's when I saw that it was, they called him Bills and that, and then like it started making sense, because like someone was actually able to translate it and make sense instead of Englishizing it. I was like, okay, so that the god, the cat god, is Bills, not whatever I thought it was.
Yeah.
See, yeah, like Bills or Beerus, I'm gonna call him Bills because that was the version I saw. Was like. Apparently he's been taking like a 40 year cat nap or something, and then he wakes up, and then has like his like caretaker Whis like tell him everything that happened, and then he finds that like the Frieza was destroyed, and then they like pull up all this video footage of like Frieza and Goku fighting on Namek, and I'm thinking, how do they get cameras on that planet?
Yeah, I remember in the Cell Saga they didn't get the they didn't Dr. Gerard didn't bother to get the cameras on Planet Namek when he was following Goku's progress. He only got information up until then, so it would seem like it would be a hard thing to do to get cameras on another planet. You know?
Wait. Are you saying that Dr. Giroux was that came after the Frieza and all that, right? That was before the Cell Saga?
Yeah.
Wait, wasn't he like collecting battle data on Goku?
Yeah,
like,
he was.
The whole time? Okay, I vaguely remember that.
He had these little robots that were following Goku his whole life or something.
But it's like, the thing is, like, I mean, how would you get like any kind of footage from different angles on a planet that's about to explode? But somehow Bills has it. And then apparently, like, he's like, you know, he's being told that he's like the strong, you know, Goku's the strongest person, even though Bills is like, no, I'm pretty sure I can beat him up. And then, of course, like, Goku's like on King Kai's little like planet, and he's doing training there, of course, missing out on like Bulma's birthday party. Like, apparently, like, both Goku and Vegeta are training at the exact same time. And then apparently, like, they show up, and then, like, what was funny was the fact that, like, King Kai and Goku are having a conversation as Cadillac, and it's just going around the planet. It's like, all right, it's like, Goku, we need to talk. We're going to go take a ride. And you just go down the same street.
Didn't you think, what do you think of King Kai's voice in the Japanese version compared to the English versions?
He's probably more understandable. And he doesn't sound like he's got marbles and cotton balls in his mouth at the same time.
Yeah, he just has a very normal, deep voice, and it's really surprising compared to his English one, which is so ridiculous.
Yeah, it was like Colonel Sanders or something is what it kind of reminded me of. And then it was just like, let's just add more stuff in his mouth like he was eating all at the same time. And then, like, King Kai, like, has Goku hide when Bills shows up. And then apparently, like, that, of course, Goku's cover gets blown. And then he tries making Goku, like, an idiot. He's like, oh, I'm not that strong. And then, like, he obviously gets punked, like, big time from Bills. And then Bills is like, well, I think I'm going to check out your planet before I destroy it. And then while he's there, he runs, like, of all places, he goes to Bulma's birthday party. And then, of course, Vegeta, picks off Bills instantly because apparently Bills was, like, having his father kneel down before him as a child, like, you know, putting his feet on him like it was, like, an ottoman or something. And, like, you know, like, oh, thank you for serving me this food, you know, king of the Saiyans or whatever. And so then, like, the whole time, like, Vegeta is, like, trying to keep Bills calm by just feeding him more food. Like, the whole time they're there at the party, they're just, like, eating up all their food.
Yeah, Saiyans love to eat. Well, and so does that Whis guy, who is, I don't know what's so unique about Earth food or whatever to them, but they must really like it.
I guess, like, I kind of wonder, like, what if they do any kind of takeout on that, like, cat planet or whatever. Well, even what was funny about, like, when Bills was waking up was the fact that, like, he kept, like, rolling out of his bed onto, like, these hovering platforms. And there was, like, all these clocks around him, like, surrounding him, like, you know, like, going off at the same time to wake him up. And he was just like, no, I'm not going to get up. Not today. And then also, like, at the same time, the people from Dragon Ball, Lord Emperor Pilaf and Mai and that, like, cat ninja dude are, like, all little kids. Because there were little kids in GT, I think, right?
Yeah, they got wished back to children for some reason.
It, for them, it was like they complained about, like, well, you wish for eternal life, and all they did was get, you know, back to being kids. And so I guess, like, they have an extra 40 years on their life or something from that. But then, like, they're sneaking through, like, the, like, inside the Capsule Corporation building where they have all these raffle prizes, which was, like, a year's worth of chicken. And, like, gold, a castle or something. But, of course, all they want out of that is the Dragon Balls. And then apparently they get found out by, like, Gotens and Trunks. And then Trunks is, like, wanting to, like, or they think that, like, Mai as Trunks' girlfriend is, and Trunks is like, hey babe, I want you to be my girlfriend to impress my mom since it's her birthday.
This has a lot of good Toriyama humor like that in it. Because it's the only one that he's been directly involved in.
I mean, I don't know what... I mean, he's done, like, video games and stuff in the past decade since, like, you know, doing the last Dragon Ball Z movie, but I think with him, it's just like, you know, I'm just going to do whatever. And that's kind of what we got. Because then it goes to, like, Vegeta, like, trying to keep Bills calm by basically going on stage and dancing around. And trying to get people pumped up that there's a raffle going on.
It's funny to see Vegeta in a situation like that, because... It's so out of character this whole movie. He's so scared of Bills and everything. It's kind of funny.
I mean, because isn't, like, Vegeta at this point, like, a comic relief right now? Or that's how Toriyama's pretty much making him out to be?
Yeah.
I guess, like, you know, you take the worst guy in the universe, supposedly the bad dude, and, like, you know, have him marry the girl that, you know, everyone's expecting Yamcha to go and, like, marry and pick up eventually. Because that's how they played it off in, like, you know, Dragon Ball and then, like, in Z also. But, like, you know, Yamcha got pushed to the side, obviously. Which is, I guess, kind of sad.
Yeah, because Yamcha was a character from the very start and long-time relationship with Bulma. And then it's like, oh, Vegeta's the new strong guy. Let's give him a wife so he can have a Super Saiyan son. And so they marry him to Bulma.
Yeah, to progress the plot line even more, or whatever Toriyama wanted to do with the story.
I mean, if Yamcha and Bulma had a son, though, think about how lame it would be. Compared to Trunks, nobody would care about that character.
That's true. I mean, like, it wouldn't be Trunks coming back in time to, like, try to take out Cell with the spets, or, you know, the cool-looking sword or whatever. It'd be like a Yamcha's son or something. He wouldn't even be as strong and... I don't know.
Yeah.
But what really gets this story going is the fact that, like, Lord Bills wanted to try Majin Buu's pudding. And since Majin Buu is such a greedy fat ass, like, he just eats all the pudding all in one gulp without considering that Lord Bills is the strongest dude in the universe. Because I feel like this script was written by Dave Riley from Fast Karate from The Gentleman. It's like, okay, how's the world going to end? Someone gets mad because they didn't eat any pudding. And then Weiss has to calm him down or something. Or, like, they go to sample food at, like, the sushi bar. And pretty much, like, just eating everything that they can there.
Yeah. I mean, just everybody in Dragon Ball Z has a huge appetite. You know, you can tell Toriyama really likes food.
Yeah. It's just kind of ridiculous that, like, you know, Bills loses his temper over Majin Buu. Of, like, all people.
Yeah.
And of course, like, Bill shows up and then, like, Vegeta, and then, like, you know, Vegeta's trying to explain to Bulma. It's like, yeah, this is an old friend of mine. And then he's, like, you know, he's dancing with, like, everyone in the crowd and stuff. He's just having fun. Even though this guy's supposed to be, like, the biggest potential threat in the entire series.
I still find it kind of weird how Boo is good all of a sudden after. I mean, I guess it's not all of a sudden. Like, they gradually do it with Hercule making him feel good. Making the Fat Boo good, but he destroyed, like, almost all of the Earth's population. It's really strange that he's just their friend.
Yeah, well, but then they justify Boo, like, giant Fat Boo being good because he had the evil Skinny Boo inside of him. Because they did the whole, like, form thing like they did with, like, Cell and Frieza or whatever.
Yeah, there's the Gray Boo and then the Super Boo and then Kid Boo, and there's so many Boos.
Yeah, wait, yeah, that's right. Kid Buu was the last one that was, like, the most evil or whatever.
Yeah, he's tiny.
I don't even really remember Gray Buu.
Well, that's the Buu that came out of Fat Buu. And then he ate Fat Buu, and then he became pink.
The skinny, tall Buu.
The tall, pink, skinny Buu.
Yeah. And then at the end of Dragon Ball Z, we get Oob as, like, an Indian kid.
Oh, and then they use him in GT also, and he fuses with the Fat Boo to become Majoob, which is totally pointless, because he gets beat in, like, one episode.
I, I just know the end of Dragon Ball Z and was like, Oob, like, was the kid, and then Goku's like, I'm gonna train him, and that's how the series ends.
Yeah, this last and two episodes
I didn't even know what happened to him. And then, like, you're saying that he came back in GT only to, like, suck really bad.
Yeah, the first episode of GT has him and Goku fighting in the lookout, and then Goku destroys the lookout, and he's like, alright, our training is done. And then Emperor Pilaf makes them all into children for some reason. And then Oob just flies off. He didn't really care. And he isn't shown for like 20 more episodes. And then Baby invades the Earth and fights Oob. And Oob just gets his ass kicked.
I guess, well, I mean, Toriyama didn't really direct GT, so they kind of did whatever they wanted. I don't know. That was the way I've understood it.
Yeah, everybody hates GT because it's not Toriyama. Well, I guess there are fans of GT, but a lot of people don't like it.
Those fans of GT are probably not as loud spoken. I don't know.
Well, when I went to Amazon.com, I was surprised I saw a lot of high star ratings on GT. And a lot of people saying, oh, this is great, it's just like DBZ. And I was like, really? Okay.
No, and then, of course, like, Goku shows up, obviously, because he has to save the day. And then, apparently, they use the wish of the dragon to ask it a Wikipedia question regarding what is a Super Saiyan God. And then, like, the dragon gets summoned to tell them something. All they had to do was hold each other's hands if they're all Saiyans, and then Goku will become a Super Saiyan God. And that was essentially exactly what happened. And then, of course, like, we find out that Gohan's wife, oh, crap, what's her freaking name? Videl? That's it, yeah.
Mr. Satan's daughter.
Yeah, like, she apparently has, like, a baby, and it's a Saiyan baby, so that makes up for the sixth Saiyan in the circle. And then, like, Goku's on God level with Bills, which all they do is they kind of punch the earth a lot and fight in a cave. And that was some really great CGI, cel-shaded, rendered rocks exploding. In terms of, like, special effects and everything.
Yeah, this is very well animated. It's, you know, it's made 17, whatever years since the last movie, so there's been a lot of advances in animation techniques since then and everything, so it looks better than any other DBZ movie we ever saw.
Did it look, like, really weird to you to kind of see it like that, like, regarding when they're, like, bursting out of the rocks and that one stone splits and... It just looks like very, I mean, it's obviously, you know, cel-shaded 3D, but it just kind of looked, I don't know, it just kind of looked really weird for me to see that.
I mean, it was different, but
okay.
I thought it looked kind of interesting.
I didn't know if it, like, bugged you or whatever.
Not really.
All right. And then, of course, they fight in space, and then we find out that Bills is not the strongest of the universe, and then, like, on Earth, because apparently, I guess technically Goku didn't win. And then the biggest, like, anticlimactic thing happens where... hopefully Josh isn't listening to this. Unless he just doesn't care.
Josh, have you seen Battle of Gods?
He said he saw, like, 20 minutes of it. Oh, so I'm hoping he's not listening to it right now. Well, he's not responding, so I take it he's not listening.
Hmm.
All right. Yeah, so, like, the most anticlimactic thing happens where, like, Bills is like, all right, here I go. I'm going to destroy Earth. And then he shoots a rock and he's like, oh, I'm so tired. What a day. I need to go home and take another nap. I don't know. What did you think of how anticlimactic that was?
I mean, I didn't expect Bills to die or anything. So I guess it's just a funny way for them to cut it short.
Yeah, well, I mean, Bills is a god, so, like, how would you kill a god?
Yeah, and Goku hardly ever kills his opponents anyway, so...
Yeah.
They always find some way out of it, or someone else does it, like Gohan with Cell.
Oh, that's true. And then, of course, at the very end, we get Beerus, or Bills. It's like, what's this green stuff? Oh, it's wasabi? I'm gonna try it. And then it's, like, it's mouth turns to fire and he breathes it out, and then that's the end.
Yeah.
So we basically summed up an hour and a half movie in 20 minutes, and we basically gave you guys exactly what you need to know, because that's exactly what happened. And I don't think we missed anything out of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the best parts was Vegeta fighting Bills, or Beerus, or however you call him.
Oh! Bulma gets bitch slapped, that's right.
And he gets all mad.
Yeah, he finally grows his hair back. And then he takes on Bills from that. He's like, you don't slap my wife like that! Because she, like, shows up and he's like, how dare you ruin my party? And he's just like, smack! And she goes, why? I had to rewind it, like, 3 times. It's like, oh, man, that's good. Oh, man. It's like, I think a bitch is a bitch. But that's pretty much Battle of Gods. Super good movie. I'm probably going to buy it when it comes out. And, I mean, even though I've seen it, it's just fun to watch. It's not a serious DBZ film. Because even the serious DBZ films are like, they're action-packed, but that's about it. Because I kind of normally forget about what happens in those.
Yeah, I mean, I like the old DBZ films. I think they all have their own charm. But, you know, it's nice to see a full feature-length one. Most of the old ones are pretty short. I think maybe the Broly one is like an hour and a half. But, like, okay. the first one...
Well, I mean, there's like 2 Broly movies I know of, and then they got BoJack.
There's 3. There's Broly, a Broly Second Coming, and Bio Broly.
Oh, that was it. Okay. Yeah, I just know Vic Minogana does the voice for Broly, and it might be the only voice that I like from him.
There's 14 DBZ movies.
Yeah.
Plus the TV specials, History of Trunks and Bardock.
That's right. I've got History of Trunks on VHS, and I might own Bardock. I don't think so. I don't know, but I've seen it.
They're doing some new story about Goku's mother. Did you hear about this?
No. Because I never thought about Goku having a mom.
Yeah, neither did I until I heard about this. And it's called Gine. Or I should say she's called Gine.
Do we know anything about like what it's going to be about? Like, is it just about his mom?
Well, it's in the Jocko manga volume that they're about to release that's compiling what's already been aired, what's already been released in Weekly Shonen Jump, plus a new special chapter that goes into Goku's parents' history, Bardock and Gine, and okay. I guess how they met and the inception of Goku, I assume.
Well, I mean, like, if you're going through, like, the Bardock TV special, like, he basically gets sent to Earth, like, right when Planet Vegeta gets destroyed, if I remember correctly.
I heard that some people thought that Fasha from the Bardock special was Goku's mother, but this disproves that because Toriyama has finally officially announced who it is.
Is it like an existing character from before, or is this like a brand new person we've never heard of before?
No, this Gine is some new character that didn't exist before.
Okay. It's like, okay, he's got a mom. I just don't really care.
I doubt she's going to be able to become a Super Saiyan or anything because there are no female Super Saiyans in Dragon Ball Z.
Girls aren't allowed to be Super Saiyans. God, didn't you know that?
Not even Pan.
Wait, which child? Man, whose kid Pan, or whose parents does Pan belong to? It's Goku, right?
Gohan and Fidel.
Okay. All right, so Battle of Gods is pretty much a huge tie-in to GT, then.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because, like, Videl's pregnant in Battle of Gods. So that's obviously their kid. Because they didn't name the sex of the kid in the movie.
Well, Pan was in the last few chapters of the manga.
Yeah, Pan competes in that world tournament that Goku meets Uban.
But was that in the anime, though?
Yes, last 2 episodes, three episodes, whatever.
Okay. All right. I didn't even notice Pan in the movie. I didn't even think about that.
Well, she is, in the last couple episodes, she's just a lot shorter than in GT, and she doesn't have the headband.
Oh, now I remember Pan. I'm pretty sure I remember Pan.
She, like, picks up some big guy with her little finger or something.
Her little tiny Saiyan, half Saiyan fingers.
Yeah.
She's, like, 4. She could bench press a 2-ton truck. I don't know. I got nothing else to say about Battle of Gods unless you guys want to mention something about Dragon Ball Z or something. So,
well, as my closing remark, I'm going to do some Love That Goku tweets, so that's DBC related.
Oh, these are going to be good.
Indeed they are. He's converted to Satanism.
I just, like, read out all the responses regarding what Anton told him and, like, his like, honest opinion about those, because those are great.
Anton is back in jail. He was on the run, but the police caught him. Anton sent me a letter from prison that he is doing good. He has found Satanism and religion is benefiting him very well. That's the first tweet. Tweet number 2. Anton speaks very highly of Satanism. I will have to check it out. According to Wikipedia, the golden rule of Satanism is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Can't argue with that. Well, this is off to a promising start, but it doesn't go well. Next tweet. Very interesting, he says. Next tweet. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But if your courtesy is not returned, they should be treated with wrath. And he says, true. I'm going to see what the Twitter responses to that are. Banjo Loopy says, Mr. Satan said that? Mr. Satan. I have to say, I am generally impressed with the Twitter responses to him. Sometimes people come up with some clever Dragon Ball trivia to sneak in.
That's actually pretty good. Like, I wish just, like, his background would change to actually Mr. Satan from Dragon Ball Z, so... But then also he's just like, yeah, hail Satan. Or, like, Satan is my man or my homie or something.
Yeah.
I don't really think he's talking about the devil himself. It's just like Mr. Satan the wrestler, so that all makes sense. If I can look at it from that point of view instead of the Church of Satanism, then I'll be pretty good with that.
And anyway, the next tweet is, Satan represents kindness to those who deserve it instead of love wasted on ingrates. Makes sense, he says. He keeps quoting the Satanist literature for 2 more tweets here. Satan represents vengeance instead of turning the other cheek. He says, I'm on board. And then next, Satan represents vital existence instead of spiritual pipe dreams. Now that's cool, he says. So this is the same guy who was just a few days ago claiming to have turned a new leaf. And he was really going to be a good guy now. And now he is converting to Satanism.
He's going to be a very big guy now.
So I think that his arson skills might be coming in use at the local Satanist church if they decide to go on the rampage or something.
Looking for ultimate badass. Must be willing to be Satanist.
He's probably going to offer to be their warrior or something. Okay, next tweet. I must write back to Anton and thank him for the satanic literature. Next tweet. Hail Satan. Next tweet. Check out Satan. Then he says, check this out. Ave Satanus, which is, I guess, Hail Satan in Latin.
Oh, yeah. That was it.
And after that, there's a retweet of a picture of a pentagram on Angel Goku with wings. And they said, made this for you. And that's the last we've heard of him, so we don't know what he's been up to since converting to Satanism.
I guess we'll find out how that's going the next time he speaks, so
yeah, we can probably expect a few more arsons in Buffalo, New York.
Yeah. Well, it'll definitely heat up the town, so
What's he done so far? Raja's House, The Troubled Boys School. Did he do Francis's? Anything of Francis's?
I don't even remember. It's all. You seem to be keeping up more on this than anything else. So. Is that it for Love That Goku?
Yeah.
Josh, are you there?
Yeah.
What's your closing remark?
No more Sword Art Online on Toonami and Blue Exorcist premiering tonight.
Oh. We gotta talk about the last few Sword Arts.
Okay, yeah, we're not ending this podcast just yet. Okay, closing remarks are on hold. Man, okay. We almost forgot about Sword Art. Okay. Alright, rubbing my hands together. John, what did you think about the ending of Sword Art Online? Question mark.
Well, let's talk about them in order, 24 and then 25.
Okay.
24 was the one where it starts out with the offline argument again. And it is so absurd that they show it twice in a row. And then Asuna is being held hostage by this fairy guy. And he starts, raping her avatar or something, and he's, cutting off all her clothes and stuff, and it's all messed up. And she's like, it's not real, it's a video game.
Yeah, so Kirito is in the level, he finally got in, and, man, okay. He finally got in, and he's chained up, and he's powerless, and, how is he going to get out of this situation? And so then, she is chained up, and he is watching her basically get molested and raped. And, the guy who's doing this is the IT dude that's over ALO, and he's, licking her legs and, going up her crotch and all this stuff. And her only defensive argument is, it's okay, Kirito, this isn't happening in real life. And I'm like, bitch, that's not how it works.
She didn't even have a real life at that point. She's comatose.
You're comatose. You have no leg to stand on in that argument. It's like if you get out of this, you're still scarred. It doesn't matter if it's virtual or verbal or whatever.
And it's happening.
Sexual assault is sexual assault. It's still going to hurt you in any way.
And then the next episode, we know that this guy's been hanging out at the hospital too, so he probably happened in real life too, especially since we saw him licking her in earlier episodes.
Because even CG was on and talked about this, which I wish he was on Skype right now so we can have him on and have this 3-hour conversation
this. He is on Skype, isn't he?
Okay, I don't know, is he?
Yeah, he's on. You want me to add him?
Send him a message and say, hey dude, we want to ask you about Sword Art Online. Or not. He might not even pick up. Who cares? So, So then what gets past this and how Kirito gets his powers is the fact that the guy who designed Sword Art Online is somehow possessed, Kirito's avatar with all these, hacks, godlike, no clip, systems and overpowered stuff, because the programmer is the ultimate game master, not the guy who's running it, that's molesting Asuna. And so then Kirito's able to get out of the situation that he's in with a sword being in him, and his power, his pain reducers are in his body are lowered so he can feel it, which would obviously kill him in real life or something. And then he's able to basically destroy the game master's avatar or whatever, and completely ban him from the game. And then Kirito he saves Asuna, obviously. And then of course the episode ends with Kirito bicycling down to the hospital to go see Asuna.
And then there's that part where, was this episode 24 or 25 where his sister is snuggling up on him and stuff?
Do you remember that? Wait, are you talking about, like, when he's, like, playing the game, she was snuggling up with him?
I think it was in episode 25. I think that they were offline, but I can't remember. They might have been playing the game while they were doing it.
Man, oh, no. I think I know what you're talking about. Like, they were on ALO because, like, it became the point where, like, how Phantasy Star Online is on Dreamcast, where it's, like, private servers. So then people, like, keep it alive that way that still want to play the game.
Yeah.
And CG didn't pick up, so who cares? So him and his sister are playing online. Like, they all play online together. That's how the show ends.
It's really stupid. They say that all the MMOs shut down because of the bad press from ALO.
The companies went under, but then you got, like, these third-party people that still want to keep it alive in private servers and stuff.
Okay, first off, who cares about ALO? Nothing bad really happened except to Asuna. And so why would that impact the entire industry? What's more important is SAO, right? Because that put a bunch of people into comas, like everybody who was playing it. Why was anybody playing ALO or any of the MMOs after that?
Well, and the better question is, why was anyone that played SAO and got trapped for 2 years still playing MMOs?
Right, that's yeah. It. And there was that black guy, and he was like, "Hey, Kirito, I found this new game, and it's about fairies, and you gotta play it." And Kirito was like, "Okay, dude, but why? Why is he going along with this?"
Well, no, the story has to progress because dun dun dun, his girlfriend is comatose in the game. And that was like, he's like, "I gotta go back in. I'm going back to get my woman."
But that's like the stupid plot device that's not really explained. Why didn't she wake up?
Instead of, like,
did?
Adding a firewall and debugging it and, like, you know, I don't know, getting a police warrant against the guy who runs the company and having a, I don't. So then 25 starts up with, like, you know, Kirito goes to the parking lot. And then there's the guy that's, like, you know, his eyes are bloodshot and everything, and he's got a knife to Kirito. And then Kirito basically punks him. And so, like, I stayed up to watch the last episode with you guys. I was really drunk because I was drinking all night. And I'm going to do that tonight anyways because I like to. But, like, I was just like, I'm going to get good and kind of loaded watching Sword Art Online to celebrate. And so I'm seeing this, and Kirito's got the knife after his neck. I'm like, do it. Don't be a punk, man. Just cut it. Just gut that SOB. Just do it, dude. And then Kirito's like, no, I'm going to let the police handle it. I'm like, oh, you suck, Kirito.
There was, like, this long period of waiting, I remember, when we were watching it. Maybe it's because I was high watching it and you were drunk watching it, but it seemed like it seemed like when they
it
were
seemed
fighting,
like the opportune time to take your medicated pot.
yeah, exactly. But when we were watching, it was like Kirito had the knife at the guy's throat, and it was just like, is he gonna do it? And it was just going on for a long time.
Yeah, this is like this emotional standstill of like, is he gonna cut him? I'm like, dude, just somebody die. I don't care. Just end this. End it.
But they're like, no, only things can happen online. Nothing interesting can happen offline.
Yeah, so then like and then Asuna's sitting up in bed just like all dolled up, like, hi, I'm here. He's like, oh, thank God you're alive, Asuna.
And then there were those offline versions of the SAO players. And I couldn't even remember any of those people.
There was, like, the shopkeep girl, and then, like, the guy that, like, had, like, the samurai sword from SAO, and because he was never brought back up after the first part of the series. I completely forgot about him. And then, like, they just bring all these characters back that were, like, you know, in an episode one time, and that was it. Like, even the girl that ran the sword shop, like with the dragon getting the crystal that make the dragon crap out of sword or whatever.
By the
like
way,
she was there.
All these people know who Kirito is in real life, but his sister doesn't until a couple episodes ago. She's so stupid.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, she's just kind of there like in the back and watching all this happen, and I don't know. And then it ends with like everyone on ALO playing together. And I thought, like, Kirito, there was a, I'm not sure if it was the last episode or that one, or like he goes after his sister, or they're like flying, or she's like trying to fall to her death in the game, and then Kirito catches her, or they have a sword fight. It's something stupid. That might have been the episode before the last one. I don't know.
It could be.
It's just whatever. I just know that when it was over, I posted up Celebrate by Kool and the Gang. Josh posted up a YouTube video of Shots clip from American Dad, which went so well with my condition.
And then I tweeted, Sword Art O-Line is over, with like 100 exclamation points.
Oh, yeah. No, that was the hashtag. I was like, LOL, dude, I'm drunk and I know you're misspelled online.
No, you tweeted back.
Yeah, you're like, well, this is a trending misspelling on Sword Art Online on Twitter. And I was like, is that really justifiable? Who cares? Doesn't matter at this point. It's over. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's Sword Art Online. Don't watch it. Ever.
Oh, now we've got Blue Exorcist tonight.
Oh.
I think the only thing that's stopping me from, like, crushing my Sword Art Online VHS tape from off Toonami with my car and running it over to 1,000 pieces is, like, I'll put two Blue Exorcist episodes on it. Just a few and see if I like it or not, so.
Yeah, all three of us recorded Sword Art Online, didn't we? For some reason.
I'm keeping this for archival reasons or something, that it was on Toonami, even though it's a really dumb show.
Yeah.
I mean, the worst thing, I don't know.
It's pretty much why I recorded that, and also that the Aniplex DVDs cost like $200.
Yeah.
Some outrageous price.
I guess us being anime fans, regarding if it's good or bad, if it's on TV and it saves us money from buying it, we'll get it that way. And that'll be our justification for getting 480p quality anime, but who cares?
Yeah, and Turner Stretch Ovation. Like Naruto Shippuden, especially, looks terrible on TV. Maybe not as much since the first episode, but I remember they aired it with this really weird aspect ratio at first.
Oh, I don't even, like, I just don't even care. Like, after Space Dandy, I'm just kind of like, okay, Bleach is on, nothing's really happening. And then, you know, Naruto Shippuden, they captured Gaara, or they're going after him or something. And then only One Piece is really good out of that. And that's, I mean, like, One Piece, right now it's One Piece and Space Dandy. Because I don't know too much about Blue Exorcist. I'm not too sure if I'm going to follow into that or not, but we'll see. I kind of don't want to, because I'm really saving tape for Blue Lagoon, or Black Lagoon.
Oh, are you running low on tapes or something?
Actually, I got like 5 of those at Goodwill's over the past couple weeks, so I've got enough tapes to use on recording Toonami for at least the next few months, or maybe the next year, depending on what they show.
Well, are you doing, what speed are you doing? SP, LP, EP?
Usually SLP. It's like the longer version. And if I get the 6-hour tapes, you can put about 12 episodes on it.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing with some of the shows too. Like with SAO, it only took up 2 tapes.
See, like SAO is like about 2.5 tapes for me.
Oh. I mean, I was getting near the end of the second one, but it had room.
Oh, nice. Well, usually, like, I time record it, so I'm getting all the commercials and stuff, but, like, if you, like, record it without getting the commercials, you're actually getting a lot more space in there.
Oh, yeah, I pause it during the commercial sometimes.
So, like, you're getting 21, 22 minutes instead of, like, 30, so then that's saving you 8 minutes an episode.
Yeah, you can get about, like, if you cut out commercials, you can get about maybe, like, 15, sometimes even 16 episodes on it.
Yeah.
Recording.
Yeah, all our listeners are thinking, like, what the hell is wrong with you guys? You're recording on VCRs.
You're so behind the times. Don't you guys have DVRs? Like, no, because I'm poor.
Or if Daft's listening, he's probably like, why aren't they just downloading it online? You could get it in like 1080p quality.
Well, first of all, Daffoot never listens to our podcast. He just, like, goes on iTunes and gives us 1 star of a rating. So, or he's only done it that one time. Which, you know, go F yourself. I think that's it for, I mean, Space Dandies is getting pretty good. They had the giant red line-ish space race last weekend, which apparently ends with Danny going so fast that he, like, basically travels through time by 1,000 years.
And by that point, he's become a space god.
Hey, yeah. CG's on. Shall we add him?
Yeah, tell him that we want to talk about Sword Art real quick. It just says, oh, dot, dot, dot. Oh, this ought to be good. Just hang up, dude. Come on.
For our listeners, his avatar is Princess Peach, and she's making this weird, derpy face.
In other words, I hope you never have to be on Skype with this guy. See, not even CG's going to listen to our podcast, unless it's on Tune Radio or something. But then, by then, you know, when is this episode going to air with all the issues Mason's having and, like, Loud City shutting down or whatever, so...
Oh, yeah. He's probably going to move to Live 365, but he says it's more expensive.
And it's more expensive, and, like, if he has to, like, pay to get more people on, but he's not going to get 100 people listening to radio at the same time. I'm sorry.
He says he wants paid members, like, people who pay to listen. But that's...
Good.
That isn't gonna
freaking
happen.
Luck with that, yeah.
Hey, CG, did he pick up? CG, are you there?
Hey, CG.
CG, what's up? We're recording.
CG.
We were talking about the last few episodes of Sword Art Online.
And we want your opinion on it.
We've offered a very negative opinion. We're here to offer a fair and balanced rebuttal. What's your reason for liking Isaiah? What's the great thing about it?
I don't think he's actually there.
Or he's trying to set up a set.
What is this? What's he playing? Was that CG playing something?
The opening. That was the opening.
Did you hear anything we said?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so we saw a lot of Sword Art Online, and since you seem to be the expert on that show, how would you tell people about it to make it very positive? I think that's what we're trying to say.
Incest, attempted rape, tentacles...
I said positive, CG, not negative.
Her brother, the main character's sister wants his ass.
Don't forget the glopping.
And semen backup consumption.
Yeah.
It apparently happens in the novels.
Yeah.
Well,
and
that
knife
was,
fights in the parking lot.
Oh, CG, that was what?
To be fair, that was... I don't even know why the author did that, but that's technically non-canon.
Wait. You're saying
that
Kirito not busting a nut is non-canon to an anime?
That's actually,
am I hearing this right? That's an actual thing.
The author did it, but you're saying it's not canon?
Yeah, because it was actually, he kind of hid it on his website when he did that chapter, apparently.
He was ashamed of it because it was so bad?
Apparently he kind of put it in this not safe for work section of his website.
Oh.
Because I guess he did some I don't know the specifics, but apparently he may have done, like, not safe for work stuff.
And he thought that, incest was safe for work? And tentacles?
And dragon diamond poop?
Well, to be fair, what do you think most of those fucking drops in games are.
Not poop, obviously. I've never played a game where somebody dropped items.
I feel like I have played a game and you do get poop from the monster drops.
Usually
what game
get,
is
like,
that
potion,
so that I never have to play it?
Usually you get like a potion or something. You don't get diamond, dog, whatever it was. Yeah.
Couple gold here and there.
I don't remember, but I think it was like only one enemy specifically you get poop, and I don't remember.
Was it Blue Dragon? I think I remember enemies using poop in Blue Dragon.
I think, yeah, because you fight, and actually, I think you do get poop from the poop enemies.
Wait, is this like an actual throwing, like, an actual weapon that they, like, poop and then throw it at you or something?
No, I think it's used for something else. Like, I think it's used for creating something, I think, or you just sell it. I'm not entirely sure.
Wait, what was the first part that you said? The first thing you can use it for?
Maybe you can use it to create something or to sell it. I'm not entirely sure, but I think you do get poop drops from Blue Dragon.
Create? What does that mean?
Yeah, define that.
Create?
Oh, create.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, you can create it as fertilizer and use it to grow crops to get food for items that way, because that's one way poop is used for, is manure. And you can sell it to someone who uses poop to grow crops and other vegetation, and that's about it. So I'm just stating.
I think there is. Well, I know. Like after you like beat poo snakes, they'll sometimes drop poop on the ground, and you're supposed to investigate it. I don't know if you actually get poop. I think you do, but I don't remember. It's been too long.
Does your character, like, uses a specified stick off the ground to poke at the poop to inspect it that way?
No, he actually he sticks his hand into it.
What? Is it like Jurassic Park logic where, like, they go to inspect the dinosaur crap and found that it's got, like, an infection or something? I don't know why I remember that, but that happened in that movie. Which, speaking of, I actually found the book the other day. It's like a fourth printing from like 1990. I can't believe that book's 24 years old. Wow. Anyways.
We got completely off subject. It's really hard for me to defend Sword Art Online as much as I like it, simply because I know a lot of people focus on most of the negatives of it. One other thing I know a lot of people seem to have issues with, and it's something I know we've discussed in the tech chats before, is definitely the relationship between Kirito's sister and him, which is kind of like a lot of people seem to be like disturbed by. I don't even explain this. From what I understand, she didn't start having those feelings until after she found out she was his cousin. And a lot of the things, though, is Kirito doesn't even return the feelings at all. So he just kind of like he literally just sees her as his sister while. Kirito's sister kind of started having feelings when she found out that, you know, like they were cousins. So, and from what I understand, cousin relationships aren't as taboo as they are, say, in the U.S. So that's kind of why has occurred. And there's been, from what I understand, like there's been instances of this happening in past anime. And I even think Detective Conan has had this happen at least once as well.
Well, cousin marriage is something other than, I mean, they think that they're siblings, sort of, don't they? But then they realize they're not, or I mean, it's kind of ambiguous about whether.
I mean, Kirito shut himself out once he found out about everything, and when Sugo found out, is it Sugo or Sugo? Sugo's the main bad guy, right?
Yeah, halfway through the show, they introduced two new characters. One's called Sugo, one's called Sugo, but I don't know which is which.
I think it's Sugo. Well, I need to rewatch this because it's been a while. Kirito's sister starts having feelings towards him, and yeah. Of course, I remember talking to Tony about this, and he used to really heavily criticize that, and I was just like,
What did he criticize?
The whole relationship between the two.
He thought it was inappropriate for an animator to do incest or what?
I wouldn't quite call it incest, but it's definitely something that is definitely looked down upon here in the West.
But how is it not incest?
Well, let me ask you this, CG. Let me ask you this. Do you think Japan is the Alabama of Asia?
Well, I don't think so.
My Japanese pop culture teacher last semester had actually worked in Japan as a teacher there. And he said he worked in a part of Japan that was the Alabama of Japan. And it was like the building was all mossy and it was like decades old. And it was in the middle of nowhere and there were only a few students at the school. And
they drive four-wheelers to school in pickup trucks and had like old like racist Chinese signs or something.
That's terrible. That's absolutely terrible.
So I'm stereotyping or stereotyping Japan a bit to the south in America, but I mean, how far off am I on that? Maybe a lot. I don't know. At least I'm not saying like, oh, do they have like a KKK meeting against the Chinese? I think they actually have something like that against all foreigners, from what I know. Or what I heard, so.
What?
No, there's like pro, like, you know, Japan World War II, like, protesters in the streets that want the old Japan back from World War II. Like, actual people that hate every kind of, like, foreigner that's in Japan and everything. It's a real thing.
I heard about it a few years ago. Situation where there was this Japanese shop that would only serve Japanese people, and this Brazilian tourist came in. And they were insisting that they be served, and when they said no, they filed a discrimination lawsuit against the Japanese business. And so I guess there are businesses that are like that there that will just
So this is on the equivalent level of like the Jim Crow laws from like the 50s and 60s and 70s.
I suppose, but I mean. I suppose it's their right to do business with whoever they wish.
So I guess if they have like a Jim Crow law there, to be like a Jin Krozu law or something.
Oh, Kurosu.
Jim Kurosu. I am a terrible person. And that's why we have this podcast. Is that all we got to say about Sword Art Online? Or
I hear more music.
I think that's a yes.
Yeah.
I never got to do my closing remarks. So, John, I think Josh has had the longest closing remark discussion out of all the podcasts we've done, because I didn't expect to go for like a half an hour on this. I will close out with, go see the new RoboCop movie. It's actually pretty good. They've actually, like, compared to the old one, it's not as cheesy. Well, obviously it's not as cheesy because they actually give Alex Murphy more, like, of a humane thing than just, like, I am a robot, prime directive, beep, boop, beep, beep, bop, boop. And dead or alive, they do say dead or alive, you're coming with me. And I cheered in that part of the movie and that was about it. So, but it didn't come to like, way later. Overall, pretty good film. I think we can shut this down. So what? Next time it's going to be Megazone March Madness ish.
Yeah.
Pizza.
I haven't heard you say pizza in a long time.
Yeah. We haven't had him on in a while, that's why.
Yeah, that's true.
For as much as he asks to talk to us on Skype, it's not very common that it actually happens.
Yeah. Actually, I think the last time I talked to CG was like last year when I was playing Dead or Alive 3, and we were supposed to... I think that's when we're doing like quote-unquote critique of Mason's podcast, or eventually leading up to it or something. And then CG had to go or something, so...
Oh, okay.
That's all I remember. That was like a year ago.
Does Mason even still have that podcast?
He hasn't updated anymore, I don't think.
Where it's 20 minutes of music followed by him talking over music for 2 minutes, followed by 5 minutes of music, and then him talking again.
Yeah.
And that is how you podcast.
The Mason way.
The Mason way. All right, shut her down. Down low, hit the low.
What time is dinner gonna be?
Six.